What if I told you there's an electric aircraft startup that figured out how to dodge the most painful part of aviation innovation? Not by cutting corners, by rewriting the rules entirely. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Most of the startups we cover on this show are slugging through the FAA-type certification gauntlet. Years, billions, mountains of paperwork. But a company called Regent Craft, based in North Kingstown, Rhode Island, looked at that process and asked a genuinely clever question. What if you didn't fly high enough to need an airworthiness certificate at all? This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in your flying life. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated CFI, the whole journey, beautifully crafted and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So here's the concept. Regent is building what they call a sea glider. The vehicle is called the Viceroy, and it's a fully electric craft designed to carry up to 12 passengers plus two crew over coastal and inter-island routes. But it doesn't cruise at 3,000 feet. It doesn't cruise at 1,000 feet. It operates in what's called ground effect, skimming roughly 15 to 30 feet above the surface of the water. Let's break this down, because ground effect is something every pilot learns about, but most of us only think about during the last few seconds before touchdown. When a wing generates lift close to a surface, the downwash from the wingtip vortices gets compressed. The vortices can't fully develop because the ground, or in this case, the water, is in the way. That compression reduces induced drag dramatically. Depending on the wingspan and the altitude above the surface, you can see drag reductions of 30 to 50% compared to flying at altitude. That means you need far less power to sustain flight, and for an electric aircraft, less power means more range. That's the entire thesis of this company. The Viceroy is designed with a wingspan of roughly 65 feet. It has a hydrofoil hull, and it transitions through three modes of operation. At low speed, it's essentially a boat. It sits in the water on its hull. As it accelerates, it rises onto hydrofoils, lifting the hull out of the water to reduce drag, much like a high-speed ferry. Then, at roughly 40 knots, the wings generate enough lift in ground effect that the whole vehicle lifts off the foils and it's flying. Cruising speed is projected around 180 miles per hour, with a range target of 180 miles on a single charge. Now, here's where the regulatory angle gets really interesting. Because the Viceroy operates exclusively over water and within ground effect, it doesn't fall under traditional FAA aircraft certification. Instead, it falls under the jurisdiction of the United States Coast Guard, classified as a maritime vessel. Specifically, it's being evaluated under what are called wing-in-ground effect craft regulations, which the International Maritime Organization already has a framework for. The data tells an interesting story here. The FAA-type certification process for a new category of aircraft, like the eVTOL companies are going through, typically takes 7 to 12 years and costs in the neighborhood of $1 to $3 billion. The Coast Guard vessel certification process? Significantly shorter, significantly cheaper. And while it's still rigorous, you're not fighting the same bureaucratic inertia that has slowed down companies like Joby and Archer for half a decade. Regent's founders, Billy Thalhimer and Mike Klinker, both came from aerospace backgrounds. Thalhimer worked at Aurora Flight Sciences, which Boeing later acquired. They understood the certification landscape intimately, and they made a deliberate architectural decision to stay out of FAA jurisdiction by staying close to the water. That's not a hack. That's a genuine engineering insight about regulatory arbitrage. But let's be honest about the trade-offs, because this approach creates as many challenges as it solves. First, you're limited to water routes. That eliminates the vast majority of use cases that eVTOL companies are chasing. No rooftop vertiport in downtown Dallas. No air taxi from a parking garage in Miami to Fort Lauderdale. You need a dock or a waterfront terminal at both ends of the route. That narrows your addressable market considerably. Coastal cities, island chains, ferry replacement routes. Second, ground effect flight over water in anything other than calm conditions is genuinely difficult. When you're flying 15 feet above the ocean surface, sea state matters enormously. Waves, swells, wind-driven chop. A 3-foot swell doesn't sound like much until you're cruising at 180 miles per hour with 15 feet of clearance. The vehicle needs sophisticated altitude control, and the sensors have to work reliably in salt spray, fog, and rain. This is not a solved problem. It's an engineering challenge that will define whether this company succeeds or fails. Third, there's the battery question. 180 miles of range sounds reasonable until you factor in reserves, headwinds, and the energy cost of the transition phases. Getting up onto foils and then accelerating through the planing phase into ground effect flight, those transitions are energy intensive. The cruise phase is efficient, but you still have to get there and you still have to slow down and land, which in this case means settling back onto foils and decelerating onto the hull. Here's what most people miss about this company, though. They've actually built and flown a quarter-scale demonstrator. It's not just renderings and press releases, they flew a functional prototype in Narragansett Bay. and it successfully transitioned through all three modes, hull-borne to foil-borne to wing-borne flight in ground effect, and back down again. That's more than a lot of better-funded companies can say. They've also attracted serious money. Regent raised $100 million in a Series A round, and they've booked conditional orders reportedly worth over $9 billion from operators, including Hawaiian Airlines, Brittany Ferries, and several regional maritime operators. Now, conditional orders are not the same as firm orders. Those numbers come with a lot of asterisks. But the customer interest is real, and it's coming from operators who understand maritime logistics, not just venture capitalists chasing hype. The company is targeting initial commercial service for the late 2027 to 2028 timeframe. And while we should all be appropriately skeptical of startup timelines, the Coast Guard certification pathway genuinely is faster than the FAA equivalent. So that timeline, while ambitious, isn't as fantastical as some of the dates we've heard from eVTOL companies. Let me give you the engineering comparison that puts this in perspective. A conventional electric aircraft flying at 3,000 feet has to overcome its full induced drag penalty. A sea glider operating in ground effect at the same speed uses roughly 40% less energy for the same distance. That's not a marginal improvement, that's a fundamentally different energy equation. It's the reason ground effect vehicles have been studied since the Soviet Union built the Ekranoplan program back in the 1960s. Those were enormous military craft, some over 500 feet long, designed to skim the Caspian Sea at 300 knots carrying hundreds of troops or missiles. The Soviets proved the physics work. What they couldn't solve was the economics and the materials. Regent is betting that modern electric propulsion, lightweight composites, fly-by-wire controls, and lithium-ion batteries change the equation enough to make a commercially viable ground effect vehicle for the first time. There's also an interesting safety dimension here. In a traditional aircraft, an engine failure at altitude gives you time, but puts you far from a landing surface. In a sea glider, you're always 15 feet above your emergency landing surface, which is the water. The vehicle is already designed to operate on the water. A power loss doesn't require a dramatic emergency procedure. You settle onto your hull. You're a boat. That's a genuinely compelling safety argument, especially for overwater routes where conventional aircraft face the most risk. The flip side is that operating 15 feet above the water at 180 miles per hour gives you essentially zero margin for error in the vertical axis. A control system hiccup or a sensor failure at altitude in a normal aircraft gives you seconds to react. At 15 feet and 180 miles per hour, the timeline for a bad outcome is measured in fractions of a second. The redundancy and reliability requirements for the flight control system are extreme. I think Regent Craft represents something genuinely different in the aviation startup landscape. They're not trying to make a helicopter that doesn't need a pilot. They're not trying to build a Cessna that runs on batteries. They identified a specific physics advantage, ground effect, combined it with a specific regulatory advantage, Coast Guard jurisdiction, and targeted it at a specific market, coastal and interland transportation. That focus is either their greatest strength or their fatal limitation, and we probably won't know which for another 2 or 3 years. But in a space cluttered with companies making the same vehicle for the same market, with the same certification challenges, a startup that found a genuinely different angle deserves your attention. Reporting today drew from Regent Craft's published specifications, coverage from IEEE Spectrum and TechCrunch, and some solid analysis from the folks at the Air Current. You can find more on all of this at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. If the physics work at 15 feet, they work. See you next time.